You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
So if you want to open up to 1 Timothy, we're still in chapter 1. We've got a lot of scripture to go through today, so I hope you're prepared to do a lot of reading. But we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Okay? So it's really long. I hope you can stay with me. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read this real quickly before we get going, and then we're going to really delve in here. But it says, "Now we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully." Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. There's not a lot of length to that, but there's a lot of truth involved in this one scripture. And before we really get into it, I want to just say a quick prayer for us. So if you'll bow your head and pray with me, I would appreciate that. Jesus, we are so honored and we are so grateful that we can be here with you today, that we can be in your presence, that we can come and sing to you and learn and read and understand more of who you are and what you are. God, as we're here today and we're learning about the law, something that maybe doesn't seem relevant to us today or maybe we just kind of skip over, God, I pray that you would use your truth and your scripture to pierce our hearts. Because God, it's not about me, it's not about Cody, it's not about Chris, but this is all about you. And I pray that when we walk out of this place that we would be changed, that we would be different, not for our namesake, but for your namesake, but for your glory. So God, open our hearts and open our minds to what you want to teach us today. It's your name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. All right, I'm very glad to be here, and we're reading about the law today. Does anybody have any opinion whenever you hear that word law, what you think of? Anybody? Nope. Somebody does? Policemen, okay. What do you, criminals, okay, good. Rules. TV shows. I think, and maybe this is new for me in the last few years, but for me, when I think of the word law now, I think about like disciplining my children. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Anybody else that's a parent think like that? Or a teacher or anything? No? Okay, I'm the only person in here. I must be really harsh to my children. Okay, we're good here. I think of law and so we think of rules, we think of policemen, we think of all these different things that are in our life and around us that do what? What is the law supposed to do for us? Protect, right? Protect, right? It's supposed to guide us and protect us towards safe, maybe living would be a good thing to say there. So the law is intended to be good, right? Overall, the law is intended to be good, but we obviously know that people break the law, right? People break the law all the time. I'll give you a quick family story. I don't think I've ever mentioned him before in here, but my sister and I, my sister's here today. They've been coming for a while. Sorry to single you out there, Sarah, but she's really embarrassed now. But we've got a second cousin that when he graduated high school, made a lot of really poor decisions. Drugs, alcohol, robbing people, theft, all kind of poor decisions. Because of his poor decisions, he got put in prison, right? I think Larry probably knows who I'm talking about. He's met him before. But he's in prison, and while he's in prison, nothing changes. He continues to be lawless, continues to follow his own rules, do his own thing, and he gets to a point where in the state of Oklahoma, he's considered like one of the top 10 scariest, meanest criminals around, okay? So he had a pretty strong reputation for what he was, right? He had a pretty strong reputation for who he was going to be and the kind of character that he had. Now, what's interesting is that my cousin grew up in church, right? He grew up hearing the truth of Scripture. He grew up hearing God's laws or God's rules or God's option for love and kindness and joy and peace and all this. And while he's in prison, his mom spent a lot of countless hours and time praying for him, visiting him, writing him letters, begging him and pleading of him to have a change of heart, right? Begging him and desiring, who else wouldn't have that, right? Especially if it was your own child. You would be on your face begging and crying for them to come out of that lawless rebellion, right? But my cousin didn't ever want to do that until one night when he was in solitary confinement and God penetrated his heart. And it was at that moment when God penetrated his heart that he understood his not meeting of this standard that's been set, right? So, but until that moment, what he was doing was right and okay and good in his eyes until he realized what he had been doing incorrectly. And so I tell you that story because this is what the law is here for us. This is what God's law is here for us. The law is not here to bring us salvation, right? Does anybody read in the Old Testament whenever the church is, you know, in its infancy, Abraham's around and Isaac, does anybody read in that where they go, the law saved me? Does anybody read that? No? What brought about change in those people? Faith in the coming of Christ. But the law is what pointed them to another standard. So we're here in this place today, right? And we're in 2015, Midwest City, Oklahoma, and we all have different family lives. We all have different backgrounds. And we walk around, and until we have a true understanding of the law, we can't really have a true conviction in our heart for what God has done for us, for what Christ has done for us. So we walk around, and does anybody ever, anybody think they've ever seen anything? Maybe on, what's that little gadget people use all the time, that Facebook kind of thing? Anybody ever seen anything that maybe is misrepresented on there? No, maybe, occasionally. That internet thing, anybody ever see anything that's maybe false out there? So there are false things being presented to us all the time, right? There are false things being presented all the time that a lot of times look good and sound good in the title, but when you really read at the heart of what they're saying, they're contradictory to what this says. They're contradictory to what this teaches us. So the law of God is pretty evident in what it says, and in the next couple of weeks, we are going to get into some standards that God has set for us that today seem like they're getting warped. And maybe it's not just today. The same thing was happening back when this was written. Law was being warped, and God's standard was being warped and being changed to make it something that was pleasable to me or pleasable to mankind, right? Is everybody okay with that so far? We are here in this place, and we are walking in a world that is fallen, in a world that is lawless, in a world that has no care and no regard at all for Jesus Christ and His standard and what He wants us to be. So how do we change our lives to live to this? Is the law what makes us who we are? The law shows us our conviction and it points us to our own rebellious heart and our own rebellious attitude. Let me give you another quick little Josh story here. This is pretty personal to me, but I was saved when I was 8 years old, okay? I was 8 years old. I prayed at church. Actually, let me rephrase that. I prayed at my house, and then I went to church, and at the church I went to, you walked down front, you went out to the back and spoke with somebody, and then they brought you in, and they presented you to the church, right, for whatever decision it was that you were making, okay? So I went to the back room, and it was an awesome moment. My grandpa was with me, and he prayed with me, and we come back out, and he presents me to the church. And so I was 8 years old. I was pretty young, right? I was pretty young, but as I have gotten older, I've had these times and these moments, and maybe this isn't true for you, but for me, these are some things that I have worked through in my life. I've had these moments where I've gone, did I really say the right words with my grandpa? Did I really pray a prayer that Jesus would save me? Right? And I've had these thoughts and this doubt that comes in and creeps in and wanders in. And when I start to have these thoughts, I get to this point where I go, you know what? It's not about the words that I said at any specific moment, right? But it's about the power and the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for my life. It's about Him seeing me in my desperate need, coming to earth and living a perfect life, following the law completely, and then being cursed so that I didn't have to be. So it really doesn't matter the word that I say. It really doesn't matter the prayer that I prayed, or maybe it shouldn't have been my grandpa in the room. Maybe it should have been Mr. Larry back in the room with me praying. Or maybe it should have been the pastor. Or maybe it should have been this or that, or I didn't do it in the right room. Anybody ever have any kind of feelings like that at all, or am I just the only crazy person in here? So I have these feelings of fear of, am I really living up to God's standard? But it's really not about the words that I said, or it's not about the the actions that were taken in that room. And so whenever I begin to do that, whenever I begin to look at my life and go, did I do the right thing? Did I? Then I take the power of Jesus Christ away, right? Everybody okay with that? Whenever I start to put myself in that place and go, am I doing it right? Am I living to the right standard? Then I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing it wrong. Scripture right here in 1 Timothy says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. So how is the law good? The law teaches us where we have failed to meet God's expectations. The law is our standard for what God wants us to look like, right? But it's clear when you read Scripture that I am never going to meet this standard. So then how is the law good if it's something that I can never meet? The law is good because it points me to Jesus Christ. Because it takes me completely out of the picture. And when I'm out of the picture, then His work can begin in my life. Then His work can take over, and He can begin to change me to be who He wants me to be. When you read almost all of Paul's letters, he has tidbits and chapters and whole sections where he deals with the law and what the law is supposed to look like. And what's interesting is that it's not that he's just talking about the law just because, right? He was a Pharisee among Pharisees, right? He understood what the law said. He understood about those men that were trying to live to this standard, and they were trying to keep this. And one day on a road, he has a revelation, I'm doing it wrong. This is not the right way. I am sinful, right? And so you see that happen in Paul's life. And then whenever he's writing to people, he's writing all this incredible passage, and he's training people, and he's building up the early church, and he's bringing them to this incredible place. And then he has these verses where he still goes, and I am chief among sinners. How can that be? How can that be that this man that is so powerful that we look to and we're blown away at his knowledge and his forethought and his teaching and his training, how can he sit there and say that he is the biggest sinner among us? Because he knew the law. He knew God's standard. And he understood now that he couldn't meet that standard on his own. Only Jesus Christ could bring him to that place. In James chapter 2, verse 10, this is what it says. Let me find it here. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Whoever keeps the whole law, everything, but just fails at one spot is accountable for every single bit of it. So what does that mean for me? I'm doomed, right? I've got no chance on my own. I've got no shot only through Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, this is what it says. Excuse me, let's read 8 and 9. It says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith." So the law isn't what I have to be, but the law is what shows me my sin. The law is what teaches me and trains me in how messed up my life really is. A few minutes ago, I said that we all have a bent towards sin, right? Every one of us. We have a bent to be sinful people. That's what we are. And whenever we are following that plan, whenever we're following that path, only because of the law do we know that there's something more. Only because of the law do we know that there's something greater out there. So I mentioned kids and teaching and training of the law. And these past couple of years have been pretty awesome in our household because just 6-8 months ago, a little longer than that now, our daughter saw her need for something greater. She saw her eyes and her fallenness in sight of God's law. So my son began asking questions about the same time, and he's still asking questions, and we're walking through what that means for him to not meet God's standard and to need Jesus Christ in order to be considered holy and righteous in God's eyes. That's pretty phenomenal, right? That's a pretty incredible place to be, but that's the same place that all of us need to be. So when we walk out of this place, I was reading some people that were kind of doing some different commentaries on this scripture, and it was talking, one guy was talking about when he first became a Christian, that he was trained how to witness to people. And in that training to witness to people, they never wanted to talk about sin. They never wanted to talk about law. All they wanted to talk about was God's grace. Well, I think about that and I go, well, what is the point of the grace if we don't understand what it's necessary for, right? God is great and God is holy and God is righteous. And in order to meet that standard, I need His grace to bring me to that. So, you know, I've said before that a lot of people today talk about I need God or I need Jesus to be my daddy and I love Jesus. And we have all these sweet and kind and, you know, those type of... But yes, God is our Heavenly Father, but He has a standard that we've got to live to. He's not always just going to pat us on the bottom and go, "You're doing okay." The standard that we are held to is real. And there's got to be a change that comes and takes place. There's a word most of you have probably heard or know, depravity out there, right? And it's our fallenness. We are talking about our separation from who God is in depravity. And we are a depraved people, right? We all have that bent towards sin. We all want to, like my cousin, do our own thing regardless of who it's going to affect, regardless of who I'm going to damage or what's going to become of that. And the only way that we can overcome that is through Jesus Christ and through His pain and suffering that He endured on the cross. When you read through Scripture, you can read really all through Galatians, which we've gone through, right? And you can see this standard that we are called to because of the law. And the law is there, again, not to redeem us. We aren't saved through the law. We aren't saved by the law, but we are shown our fallenness through the law. Has anybody ever wanted to get better at anything in here? Yeah? A few people? I like to get better at things when I do them right. I don't like to just be mediocre. I don't like to just be average. Although I am in most cases, I like to think of myself as being pretty phenomenal. But the only way to get better at something is to do what? To practice, right? To train. And we don't understand how far we're falling without a trainer, without that training taking place in our life. And that's what the law does for us. The law shows us just how jacked up our life really is in light of who God is. All of us in this room, not one person in this room is above that. Not one person in this room can walk in and go, man, Josh is wrong. My life is not jacked up at all. We are all messed up. We are all messed up. And we all need the trainer to bring us to Christ. And the trainer is the law. So in Galatians chapter 3, there's a whole lot that you can read in chapter 3, but I'm just going to read in verse 23 to the end here. It says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to a promise. The law was given to Abraham. And because of his faith in the redemption that would come, he was saved. And through that same lineage, we are here today, and we have an opportunity to say, I'm messed up, and I need help. I need hope, and my only hope can come through Jesus Christ. We don't have to be held under this regulation of the law and always going, I can't meet that. I can't meet that. I can't meet that standard, right? Can anybody in here meet that standard? No, but because of Jesus Christ, we can be partakers in His kingdom. Because of His sacrifice for us. Because He loved us so much that He came to this earth to walk and die for us. Because He loved us. The law is, it's a pretty a scary thing to talk about, right? When we think about the law, and there's an entire books in here that deal with all the law, right? And we think about that and we're overwhelmed by it. And we need to immerse ourselves in it, but not so we can try to keep that standard, but so we can see just how great God is. The law is an incredible teacher and it's an incredible trainer to show me how fallen I am. But what is it showing me that I'm falling from? It's God. His glory. And the more that I can understand just how wicked and fallen I am, the more I can glorify Him for how amazing He is. Right? Because He is on a whole nother level than anything we can picture on our own because of our bent towards sin. So whenever we read of Scripture, whenever we read that the law is good, we read that the law is good because it shows us how great He is. It teaches us how awesome He is. And because of Him and because of His great love for us, we can all be changed and we can all go out and train others in that same manner. So when we leave this place, what does that mean for us? What does that look like for us? Those of us that are believers, those of us that Christ has called out, what does that mean that it's going to look like for me now? That means when I go out of this place, that there is a standard that my life has been called to because of Christ. There is a standard that I'm being held to. And so when I'm with my coworkers and when I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends, I need to be sharing with them the truth of who Jesus Christ is. That He came to love, that He came to redeem, but He came to redeem us because we are fallen and we are messed up, and we have these bents towards sin that challenge who He is. And we need His love and His knowledge to change who we are. We need His wisdom to permeate who we are. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to stand up, and the invitation is going to begin. But as I pray, I want you guys to think about, think about your life. Think about your heart. Think about your mind and your thought process, and are the things that you are doing, is the way that you are living reaching up to a higher standard? Or are we just living similar to the world, but we come to church on Sundays and proclaim how good God is? So if you'll stand, I'm going to start praying. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for how awesome and how mighty and how great you are. I thank you that you sent us the law to help train us and to teach us about who we are in light of who you are. God, I cannot meet your standard on my own. I can do nothing that is good. There is nothing clean about me at all, except your Son who offered me redemption. God, I pray that as we walk out of this place, I pray that as we leave this place, I pray that as we continue to study through 1 Timothy, and we're seeing these standards and these truths that you have called us to, God, I pray that our own opinions and our own bents would be broken down. And I pray that our hearts would be changed so that we can see your standard and your truth. God, not so we can tell people that we are great, not so we can tell people that we are good, not so we can tell people we are righteous, but so we can tell people you are righteous. We can tell people you are good. Thank you for all you do for us.